Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum, and welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. And if I can get this music stopped, we will have a show going on. Praise be to Allah. Try one more time. Okay, there we go. A little technical difficulty. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. We're glad to have our returning listeners and new listeners, and we are excited about tonight's show. We have a guest. As you know, we try to get guests that are talking about community building, in specific communities, building our own communities, and trying to build a Muslim community that we can control and that we can use as a model community for our brothers and sisters. And so we've had guests that of various skills and abilities, and tonight we are very excited to have someone that's in the food security and agriculture fields. So this guest is the guest of one of our sister Andrea. She is a strong supporter and contributor to the Time to Leave movement, and I'm going to bring Sister Andrea on right now. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Andrea.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. How are you this evening?
I'm well, by the grace of Allah, and I'm glad you're doing better too as well, sister.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to have a voice and to be feeling better. It is a wonderful thing. Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm excited about this evening. I'm excited about the information the sister has to share with us.
Well, mm-hmm. I am not going to delay any at all.
Yeah.
Sister, it looks like I see her number. I'm going to open her mic.
All right.
Is this Sister Tasha?
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Tasha. How are you this evening?
Well, alaikum salam. I'm doing great. Praises be to Allah.
Sister, thank you so much for coming on the show. We're looking forward to hearing all the information that you have to share with us. The first thing I want to ask, if you'll just tell us a little about yourself, how you got started dealing with working with the rural black farmers, working with rural growers, black growers, and all the other things that you're doing.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. So first I want to say, in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is his messenger. So how I got involved is, well, I've always had a background in culinary arts. I started off in culinary arts, and then I got off into growing food about going on 8 years ago at Yours Market. We used to have a grocery store here, a Muslim-owned grocery store called Yours Market, and I would go into the back and I would volunteer. From there, I started my own LLC with two people who taught me how to grow food, and we named it Blacks Organized for Self-Sustainability, and it was based off, those who grow food, working in the community to become self-sustaining and not really relying on anyone outside of the community to feed us, to really, you know, just give us anything economic. So my two business partners at the time, we ended up separating, and I ended up being in, you know, taking the business and really trying to figure out me as a person, what do I want to do with it? And so I kept growing and kept, like, honing my skills, and people throughout the community in St. Louis would invite me to come to their community gardens and be like, hey, I have a spot. You should come grow over here. And so I would go and I'd grow, or people would give me access to land, and I would just, each growing season, I would grow on. And so then my cousins called me and was like, hey, you should come out to our land and grow on. And I was like, well, I didn't really want to go out there because I wanted to stay in the city where I knew that there was the most need for our people to have access to food. So we ended up having a family gathering, and I went out there, and I fell in love with how much land they had. It was about 2 acres. And so they gave me a fourth of an acre to plant on. And so I got to plant my first year, tilled into the ground, and I realized it's way more than just going into the city and planting in the garden bed. I said, wow, I can't get water to the plants because I needed an irrigation system. And so had to wait to the next season to get an irrigation system. It ran me about $300. Got an irrigation system, worked with the university to set it up, and someone was cutting their grass and ran over the irrigation system and kind of stopped me from doing it. And so, but I would still be out in the community growing food. And so Minister Donald, our student minister, we had a conversation about the mosques having land. And so last year, he acquired some land in the city. And at that time, I had been learning different techniques about growing in the city. And one of the things that I had been learning was that we can't go into the soil in the city, because in St. Louis and in most areas in urban areas, what they do is when they're blighting communities and they'll turn down houses, they bury the houses. And the problem with that is that it has lead and asbestos from burying basements, and so you can't go in the soil. So what I had learned was a process called raised berms, and it's basically a process where you're building on top of the ground and you're making these mounds on top of the ground. And so I was like, I asked him to let me draw out and show him what I wanted, what I had vision, and to work on that. And he allowed me to go. And we started the first year. And then we came this year, and we had a full and complete harvest this year, and we were able to give out food free for the community. Got a lot of response back from community members that would come and be like, hey, do you want some food? And really getting the community involved. When I was doing this last year, I never thought that in a year's time that something that I was doing on the side that I love to do would turn into a full-time job that would take me on what an activist food justice role. So a year ago, I got hired at an environmental organization as the food justice organizer. And so the main goal was to work with urban and rural farmers to change the food system, how we see the food system. So fighting to be able to help and support environmentally responsible farmers. That means those who don't use synthetic chemicals, those who have good animal raising practices, and there's no CAFOs. And what CAFOs is are concentrated animal feeding operations. And so I know a lot of believers have seen the video where in North Carolina they have a hog farm, and all the waste from the hogs seeps into the water and it creates a smog around the town. So we work with farmers who are against those type of practices. And we support and we created a marketing program to be able to highlight them in the local area. But like with any institution that is in the enemy's world, it's always lopsided. And so my position really is to make a relationship with the community for my organization that's predominantly white. But when I came into this position, I told them that, you know, I fight for my community for them to be able to get the resources they needed. And so I went out and I listened to what, you know, I went to the urban growers first and I listened to basically what they wanted. And one of the things that majority of the urban growers talked about was getting access to rural land and farming on rural land and connecting with rural black farmers. And so I started looking for rural black farmers. And one of the things that I knew and continue to know and see and you know, interact with was that there was a deliberate effort here in St. Louis and throughout Missouri to keep urban growers away from rural black farmers. And so in that process, in the year that I've been working here, I've been successful in finding rural black farmers who are committed and that are waiting to connect with urban growers to help them learn how to farm rurally, because the urban growers essentially want to come away from the city to be able to go on and farm on rural land and want to go back to and basically go back to the land. And so that's some of the work I do. I also do a lot of work in community building around community resiliencies, educating the community on what is community ownership. So we're already segregated in our communities, but what does it look like for separation to happen in our communities, right? And I was having a conversation today about community ownerships, and explaining to our people that using agriculture as the foundation, is so many different things that can come from that that will be able to secure you economically in your communities. And so right now, one of the biggest things that we're working on is a community-owned grocery store within the community. So those are some of the things that I'm working on in, like, my everyday job, fighting for food justice. But I think, like, when we talk about separation and things like that, it isn't more so what I'm doing or have been doing for the last year. I think, like, what's the most important thing for me is what I've learned in this last year that can be applied to when we talk about separation and creating our own communities and how to have successful communities, and knowing that our people, the conversation of separation is more talked about in our communities than we think.
Okay, sis, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. So basically you are having a positive response from our brothers and sisters in the community surrounding separation and surrounding self-sustaining efforts for growing food?
Yes, ma'am. And so, okay. Like, I think when you look at it, you have to look at it from different perspectives. Some of our people don't want to leave the inner cities, but they don't want to be among white people, though. They want to be separate. They want to be in their own communities, and they want to be in control of their own communities. And so they're not ready to go back to the land, or they were not ready to go back south. But there is a large and a growing population of us that's ready to return to the south, that's ready to use farming and agriculture and ready to have these separate communities. And there are communities that are already being formed and established that are separate, that are actively in the process of working on separation. And the reality is that white people are separating from themselves. Of course, they use the term differently than us. They like to, I guess what I say is, beauty the word up to not make it look like, hey, we don't want to be over there with those people. So they call them intentional living communities.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, ma'am. Wow, yes, ma'am. You were, when we were talking, you were mentioning some of, there's so much I want to go over. You were mentioning some of the conferences you recently went to. And I think you went to the Bugs Conference. Will you talk a little bit about that? And then another women's conference. And you mentioned that there was a mention and uplifting of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Yes, ma'am. So I'm always looking for skills and things like that. I want to say first, when I talk to different people in the nation, and like, especially some of the sisters I'm close to, and we talk about getting land down south, I always think, what can I contribute? We're talking about relocating and coming down to the land. What can I contribute? And I've been thinking about this, and like, how can I contribute? What can I bring to it? Where can I, you know, economically, how can I assist our nation? And so when I went to Bugs, I saw two things that stood out to me at Bugs. The first thing that I saw was that the only time I've seen this is in me joining the Nation of Islam. I saw just a group, like, I mean, intergenerational, a large group of black people gathered together in peace, harmony, working on solutions to some of our plaguing problems. And it made me happy and it made me smile because I've only experienced that in joining the Nation of Islam and going to Savior's Day and seeing us all together. And it made me happy to see our people. But while I was at the Bugs conference, some of the panelists, when they're talking about agriculture and they're like, the question is asked, well, you know, how did you get involved in this? What made you want to do this? A few of the panelists talked about the impact the messenger had on their lives and growing up being Muslim and you know, just the impact that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has had on the idea of agriculture and then also nation building. And so, like, being at Bugs, essentially it was, we were in a room the last day and we were asking one of the two prominent questions that we were asking was that, what do you need and what do you offer? And so those two questions allow people to say, this is what I need help with to help build up whatever projects or things I'm doing, but then this is what I have to offer. So you got to see what people were good at, whether it was people who can lend time and talent to come down to help assist with growing projects, or if someone can help you learn how to build natural houses from natural materials, or if someone can teach you GIS mapping and how to incorporate that into farming to be able to know where are your rural black farmers throughout the country. So those are some of the things that were highlighted. But the theme of Bugs this year was homecoming. And one of the things that one of the presenters has said was that, you know, those who were farmers sent their children, you know, our ancestors, our elders, they sent us away to school to learn and to get an education. And I added that we were supposed to come back. And so the conversation now is, our people in urban areas are saying, hey, I want to go back to the land. I want to move back south, but buying land is expensive. And so rural black farmers are saying, I have nobody to give my land to. And so at Bugs, it's this, they're like, hey, if you need land, well, we have rural black farmers. Let's make this connection. And that's some of the work that I do here in Missouri, is connecting urban growers and rural black farmers. Rural black farmers who may not have family that want to take over the land, but instead of losing the land, being able to give it to urban growers to carry on that legacy of farming. And so that was a lot of what Bugs was about, on how we build a movement around food justice, but also essentially is building up. Us for separation, because the reality is that America is, we're looking at the fall of America right now. And so I think one of the things that I got from Bugs is, do we sit around and wait for America to fall, or do we actively move and strategize and start planning to make sure that we have what we need once America falls and our people have what's needed?
Yes, ma'am. Oh, my goodness. That's phenomenal. And just let me clarify, because I started talking about Bugs, but that is the Black Farmers and Urban Growers Conference, for any listeners like myself that wouldn't have known that without you telling me. Sister, that is absolutely phenomenal. I remember you saying that you also are teaching the youth, you work with children in teaching about growing food in some of our community schools.
Well, so and I want to talk about this. I do also want to go to the other conference I went to. It's not that I teach our youth in our community schools. So what's important to me is that, like, our children in the nation, what we give them. And so my son, since he's been five, he's been at a Muslim school. And the sister has been asking me to do agriculture. And I wasn't in a position financially to really take the time out to really work on and plan to do agriculture and teach them agriculture. And so in this past year, one of the things that I work on and that I've been successful at is relationship building. And so I've built these relationships with people in the community, but people throughout the country, to be able to assist me when I need assistance on things. And so I brought the idea, Minister Donald, he got a lot last year, and then this year they were gifted another lot. And so I took the initiative because that lot was just vacant. They weren't doing anything with it. So I took the initiative to talk to the sister that's over the school to say, hey, I'm going to set up a plan to be able to teach the children agriculture, but we're just not going to teach them how to grow food. We're going to teach them an economic component of agriculture. So I'm in the process of studying something that's called permaculture. And so permaculture is a fancy word really to say that what the environment, so looking at the land, looking at the environment, and what you get from the environment, but also what you give back to the environment. Of course, white people, they like to name stuff. And so some guys came up with the name permaculture. But essentially, it's something that we've been doing for generations, tending to the land and the land giving us what we need. And so I'm showing them how to look at what's around you and work with that, but also show them how to create economics from that. And so how I'm doing that is that I'm also working with the community that the lot sits in to do a community-owned grocery store. And so when I told the person that's over the neighborhood association about the project I'm doing with the children, she said, well, the first product that we will buy will be from the children. And so I was like, yes, great. So that's their first look at how to sell your produce to a store. So teaching things like that. So, and I could have went into the schools and taught children into the schools, but I thought that it was so important to teach our children in the nation these type of things to prepare them for our future, to prepare them for our nation, because we're building a nation. So what are we giving to our children to actually show them what a nation looks like, and how do you constantly add to that, add to your nation, you know, and help build up a nation where you're at that contributes to the whole.
Yes, ma'am, and thank you so much for doing that. That is absolutely what we're supposed to be doing. I commend you for all of that you've been doing. And I apologize.
Yes, ma'am, Andrea.
Yes, sir.
Sorry to interrupt. I just want to say that we are halfway through the show, just about. And I just want to pause for system network identification. This is the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show with our guest, Sister Tasha, who is being interviewed by Sister Andrea of the Time to Leave Movement. And if you would like to ask any questions or make any statements, press the 1 on your dial and we will bring you in. And we have Dr. Ridley. Sister Andrea, is it okay if I bring Dr. Ridley on now?
Of course. Of course.
Assalamu alaikum, Dr.
Assalamu alaikum. Sister Tasha?
Yes, sir.
First of all, I'd like to say it has been a pleasure listening to you and your various productive exploits. I don't see why anybody in the world can be bored when they listen to what you have done with your life and are doing. So we thank you so much. There's a couple things. You first said you were in culinary arts. You took that up. You know,
we
are talking about here at Muhammad Farms value-added production. And so I think your culinary arts thing, too, you should give that to the youth as well so that they can take that product and make it into a final valuable product where they can get more money for it than they can by just selling it raw. Yes, you know, since you've been culinary arts, you know how to do that.
Okay? Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just want to say that from the first time I talked to you, I've always taken your words with me. And one of the things you talked about was cutting out the middleman. And you talked about how farmers make 16 cents off of a loaf of bread. So I've taken that and in what I've had a meeting today to talk about what it looks like for the community owner on grocery store and to actually cut out the middleman so rural black farmers can really make a profit.
Thank you. Thank you so much, sister, for giving me some credit. But you're doing a great job. But it's one thing you said I wish you would expound on. Number one, let me ask you a question. Where was the Buzz conference at this year?
It was in New York.
In New York? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is, I want you to expand a little more on what you said about how they're trying to keep the urban farmers away from the rural black farmers. Could you expand on that more, please?
Yes, sir. So when I first started my LLC, one of the things that we were trying to do was be able to get products straight from rural black farmers and bring them into urban cities to create a market for rural black farmers, because we know that if white farmers who are growing without chemicals are having a hard time to meet a market, then we know black farmers aren't seeing it at all. So we wanted to go straight there. So the USDA has the 2501 grant program. So what happens is that the extensions apply for these 2501 grant programs, and they're an outreach program. And so they're supposed to do extensions and the land grants and the extensions, which is regular universities, are supposed to do outreach to minority, socially disadvantaged and veteran farmers, which essentially is black, native, Asian, and Hispanic farmers or Latin farmers. And so they have the contact information of these farmers. So when I would go, when the first time I ever asked for that information was when I started my LLC. And I literally asked that question, hey, where are the rural black farmers? Can you connect me with them? And the question was ignored. It was a white woman that worked for a land grant. And so when I got in this position, my white coworker actually leveraged her privilege to ask another white lady, hey, we're trying to get rural black farmers, you know, because urban black growers want to learn from rural black farmers. And her response was, why do they have to be black? So I was like, okay, right? So I said, okay. So I kept pushing and I kept pushing. And I was in this leadership class. And it was a girl that's in the, that was like a student, like a grad student. She's like, yeah, I'm from Sykeston. I was like, oh, you from Sykeston? I said, so when are we going to go down there and find some black farmers? And she started laughing. She's like, we can go whenever. And so I asked my job, and they weren't, like my supervisor really wasn't willing to let me. So I funded myself, and I went down there, and I went and I talked to her family who knew the numbers to all the black farmers. Because when you're, you know, when we're in communities, we know each other. And so I got the numbers, and when I came back, I started calling them. And I told them, I said, we've been looking for y'all, but they've been trying to keep us from y'all. And they was like, really? And they were like, yeah, we haven't heard anything from the extension. We're not getting really help. And so I was like, you know, so I told my growers, all right, so we're going to have to work on some things, because the reality is this, right? When I went down there, it was at the height of when Dr. Wesley was talking about the milk controversy. And I was watching social media, and I was like, and I was laughing because people on there talking about milk. And I was like, how many people that's talking about milk has ever been to a farm to milk a cow? Right? How many people have, how many people support a rural black farmer? Better yet, how many people actually support any urban growers? And so some of the urban growers I was working with, they Afrocentric, and I was like, well, don't knock milk because you've never milked a cow. I said, but we'll go down there, and we yeah, y'all need some training. We need to we need to know that there's a difference from the city than really putting your hand and your, you know, feet into some real soil. That's not contaminated by lead, and that you don't have to worry about certain things. And so right now I'm creating some kind of training to be able to have rural black farmers get paid for training urban growers, like across training, but also to have urban, once they go through their training, to have urban growers be certified then as rural farmers. And then, because a lot of things that are happening right now with the farm bill and things like that is they're like, oh, yeah, new and beginning farmers, what they're doing is saying, hey, yeah, we'll give you loans to get farmland, but you don't know how to farm. You only farmed on these lots and garden beds. You don't know what it takes to farm on all of these acres of land. You have to get with our people. First of all, you have to get with our people to know the history, the full history, and to know the type of land that they gave us, and to be able to grow. Yeah, we got contaminated soil, but have you to know how to grow in some of the worst type of soil that's worse than contaminated soil? So have to know those type of things. And so that was my reasoning for wanting to connect rural black farmers with urban growers. And in the state of Missouri, we have about 238 black farmers. I found maybe 10, but we're still working on that process.
Okay. In what you're saying, let me add to that. Okay. If you can get those urban farmers to work as an apprentice underneath the rural farmers for a year, okay, then they can use that time spent to get that application to get that loan.
Okay.
Okay? So if you set up an apprenticeship program for those urban farmers to go and stay, you don't have to stay all year, but stay some time on the farm, but then show time spent with that farmer in farming, okay, get it documented, then they can use that to go to USDA to get them started alone.
Okay.
And while they're doing that training, I wish you would work with them on culinary arts, because I tell people now, I said, don't grow peaches, grow peach pies.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Don't grow wheat, grow flour. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you want to look at the final product that you can sell directly to the consumer. Okay. And then you want to find out how to grow the product to make that product. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because, unfortunately, people are not cooking.
Yes.
And so it's close to cooked as you can get, even all the way up to getting you a food truck. One person get a food truck and the other farmers feed that food truck with raw product, and they all get part of that money. That's the route to go, because people are hanging out at Chick-fil-A and Popeyes and stuff like that. But
yes.
I think that what you are doing proves that it can be done, and also shows that our people are actively working on homecoming. They're actively working on trying to get back home. So I say all praise to Allah. Just keep going and keep us informed.
Yes, sir. I wanted to add, if I can, about my California trip, that it actually preluded the Bugs trip. So I went to I met this woman named Pandora Thomas, and she was talking about community resiliency. And she was like, I asked her for help. I was like, we need help here. You know, because at the time, that was at the height of, like, I couldn't find any black farmers. And they were like, I was hitting a stone wall. And so she was like, well, call me. And so I called her. And she was like, well, email me everything that you need help with. So I emailed her. And she sent me a response. And she said, sign up for this program. And I was thinking to myself, I really don't want to sign up for no more programs. But I was like, all right, you asked for help, so trust the process. So I trust the process, and I got accepted into this, it's called Women's Earth Alliance Environmental Leaders Accelerator. And so I started it, and I went to California for a week. And I was at this first, when we first went into the town, I looked around and I said, oh, wow, this is an intentional town. I had learned about what an intentional living community was from some of the interns at the job. And when I first heard it, I started laughing. I said, wow, the Nation of Islam has been saying that for years. I said, all that is separation. And so when I got there, I was like, oh, wow, this is an intentional town. So I got excited. And then when we got up there, I saw that it was an intentional community. And I was like, oh, my God, they got yurts. I was like, I want my yurt right here, you know, joking. But what I experienced, I called one of the sisters that's in the Nation. I was like, and I recorded. I was looking around, and I was showing her. I was like, this is what we're going to have. This is how our nation is. This is some of the stuff we're going to have for our nation. And so I was telling her, like, we shouldn't get land and not have an economic plan to that land. Because one of the things that when we work with young people, the first thing they say is, I don't want to grow food. That's slaves. You know, it's always connected to slavery. So we know there's a trauma around that. So how do you even engage them to heal on that trauma? You got to show economics from the land. And so Ebony Alexander, that's with the Black Family Land Trust, came last month. And she was talking about, like, how do you always make money from the land generations from now? And so our people can always come back to the land and always come back, even if they go out and go to school, but always come back. And so while I was in California, I was observing everything they was doing. One of the things that stood out to me was the fact that we never left from off of that community to get food. Nobody left from there to get food. There was no delivery trucks bringing in food. Everything that was cooked for us was from the land. So there was no sugar. There was no all those different ingredients you see on the back of those things, the back of the car. It was everything that they've grown on the land. Some people started having headaches. And I was like, oh, that's because you are not eating any sugar. So some people had to literally leave to go get that in there because they was having headaches. And that your body was rejecting it. And so I was in heaven because I had already gave up sugar like the week before. Like a few weeks before. So I was good. But then I also saw that the fact that they were renting out spaces. And I was like, wow. So you have where people live over here, and they have the they had sheep and things, but then they had this big event space, and they rent out event space, and it reminded me of something that Sister Ava said about separation. And when we think about separation, and sometimes our mind can go to, oh, we're going to be in a backwoods somewhere, right? And I'm paraphrasing. So, but no, how do we, separation meets modern time. It doesn't have to be this spooky thing like we're going and we got to chop down trees. No, how do we make it meet modern times? And I think like being in California show the practicalness in meeting modern times. They had solar and stuff like that, but there was no issue with heating. There was, I think they told us to be cautious because California is in a drought of like how much water we're using. But really, there was no issue with heating, with water, and things like that. But it just shows me the practicality in separating, and that I think that sometimes we overanalyze what it means to separate and how it's really easy if we take up different skills and we just research. So, like, this whole year, I've been researching. So you guys had the brother Farouk Hunter on the show, and I had been telling the sisters, I was like, you got to look at this brother out of his own community, you know. And so I had been, like, looking into what he was doing in other communities and just signing myself up for different skills to try to build to help with building a nation. So when we actually acquire land, where is the economics that we get from the land?
Praise be to Allah. If I can
sound like you got a lot of sense. That's all you can say.
Yeah, I just want to say we have some more callers on the line.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Dr. Ridgely?
Go ahead. Bring them in.
Okay, yes, sir. Okay. Caller with the last four digits, 080883. What's your name and where are you calling from? Caller with the last four digits, 0883. You are live on the show.
From Bjork.
Kim, having trouble hearing you, sir. What's your name?
Brother Dwayne from Peoria.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Dwayne.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to give Sister Tasha, you know, I met her, had an opportunity to meet her one time down there in St. Louis. You told me you were doing something. You just did not tell
yes,
me you
sir.
Were doing that much.
Yes, sir.
So I just wanted to say, you know, praise be to Allah. I was
yes,
almost
so
kind
much.
Of blew out of my mind hearing all this work that you're doing. You know, I just pray that Allah continue to bless you, sister.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you.
Thank you for your call, Brother Dwayne. And we have another caller that's waiting. Caller with the last four digits, 6455. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. Family, this is Sister Tiffany calling from Dallas, Texas.
Alaikum salam.
Sister Tasha, yes, ma'am.
Praise
it was so awesome to hear everything that you are accomplishing. It's excellent. My question is basically, I want to know what steps we can take as far as, you know, the believers that want to separate, that want to have a community of our own. What steps can we start taking to prepare as far as the agricultural piece? Like if we move on to, you know, we build our own community and we move on some land, what steps can we take to begin to prepare for that if it has to happen quicker than what we expect, or even if it happens in our own time, what steps can we take to begin to prepare? What would you say will be the most important, some of the most important steps?
I think that for the agricultural piece, start the most common thing is like start growing indoors, familiarizing yourself with how to grow. And then, just what, and so, Sister Tiffany, This is one of my best friends. So we stayed next door to each other. And when I started on my growing journey, she would help me. So I started in the backyard. I started volunteering first, and then, you know, I started in the backyard. I went and I got a $40 bed, and I started growing from there. And it grew out of that. So I think that, like, if you're not on any land now, or you don't have access, if you're not on any, like, you're not ready to move at this moment, start growing now, and getting and familiarizing yourself with how to grow the plants, and what does it do for the soil, and move on to a lot of us live in urban areas. So I don't know how Dallas is set up as far as the urban areas go, but they do have a big agricultural community in Dallas. So finding a lot of the things that I do is relationship build, to be able to learn some of the skills that I might not have from other people. And so those are the things that I'm working on, because I'm ready to separate. I'm ready to be in Georgia, but I also know that I want to be able to contribute something. And so some of the things that I'm learning is, some of the things are self-taught, but also I'm also reaching out and asking people questions and things like that. So I'm about to take a class in permaculture to learn permaculture design. I'm about to learn natural building. It's other things that's out there. I do a lot of research on the computer and stuff like that about what's out there around agriculture. And so, but that's, I mean, I love, when I tell you I love to grow food, you know, I love to grow food. And so that's just not limited to agriculture. I was talking to a sister earlier today, and she's in the health field. That's with anything you do, but always keep the teachings at the center. So when I'm talking about agriculture, the teachings at the center, I have to go back to how to eat to live and think about what is our dietary law, and look at what the messenger said and how to eat to live, and how does what I'm doing, does it align with what we're taught? I hope I answered your question.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sister Tiffany. And we have one more caller. Caller with the last four digits, 2042. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Shayba Muhammad. Excuse me, I had to take my phone off the speaker. My name is Shayba Muhammad, and I just wanted to ask Sister Tasha, is that your name correct?
Yes, ma'am, and assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam. So I'm sorry, I got on the phone a little bit late into the call, but I wanted to ask, did I hear that you were in St. Louis?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm also in St. Louis, and from what I did hear of what you were saying, I'm really interested and fascinated to sort of connect with you and learn a little bit more about what you have working on. So I'm here in St. Louis, and I've actually developed a program. It's called the Makers Program, in which I partner with organizations and professionals to teach classes to Black and Latino artists and creatives, to teach them business fundamentals. And so it covers everything from registering your business, bookkeeping, taxes, marketing, how to do wholesale and pricing. So basically all the fundamentals needed to start a business. But one thing you said that was really interesting to me is when you mentioned the intentional community. So I actually live near an intentional community and have had meetings with the people who have started the intentional community. And I was really fascinated to learn and sort of see in depth how they're living and sort of ways that they're building community here in St. Louis around the common values that they have. And they also integrate farming into what they do. And so my husband and I, we actually have purchased, and I think it was like $35 a year, a plot of land in that intentional, in that co-op. They have a section that's just specifically for farming. you know, urban farming. So we've purchased a little plot just to start doing that on our own. But as far as the business structure of it, I've kind of been trying to learn and take notes from them. So just to wrap it up a little bit, I'd really be interested in connecting with you and sort of exchanging information and especially learning more about what you do and learning from what you're doing also.
Yes, ma'am. Do you have a
okay.
number? I can give you my number.
Sister Tasha, let's do this. We're down to last 4 minutes, 5 minutes. And let's just say that if you can just go ahead and give your contact information, because I'm sure there's other listeners that also would like to keep up with you and follow what you're doing. So say the name of your organization and email, website, or Facebook page, whatever your preferred method of communication.
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you. So, you can find me on Instagram. Let me make sure I got this right. Okay. You can find me on Instagram under Food Equity Advisory Board _STL, and that's FOODEQUITY Advisory Board _STL. And then on Facebook is Food Equity Advisory, St. Louis Food Equity Advisory Board. I'm on both of those, and I actually run
okay,
those.
Now let's, if you can say both of those a little slower, because people are, I'm sure they're trying to write this down. Say the first one and take your time.
Okay. So the first one is Food Equity Advisory Board _STL, and that's FOODEQUITY Advisory, ADVISORY. BOARD and the _STL.
And that's on Instagram?
Yes,
okay.
Sir. And then on Facebook, it is St. Louis, so it's ST.Lewis Food Equity Advisory Board. We have a group and a like page.
Okay. And do you have an email address if someone wanted to send you email?
Yes. So I'll give out my personal email. It is toshaphoenix@gmail.com.
Okay. One more time.
Okay. toshaphoenix@gmail.com.
Very good, because I know it's a lot of people who's going to be wanting to keep up with you and contact you to ask for questions and advice. So we're down to the last 2 minutes. Sister Andrea, Sister Tasha, any closing statements or anything you want to say before we wrap it up?
All I have to say is just thank you, Sister Tasha. You are an inspiration. I'm sure you have, everybody's mind is going like mine.
I'll just say one of the things I talked about with my other sister in Dallas is that there's a lot of things that I do. I get paid to do a lot of this stuff. And there's fellowship, there's accelerators, there's money out here to craft your skills that people, you know, that I get paid to be able to do this. So essentially that I'm taking, that I'm going to be able to utilize and help build a nation, help build our nation.
Praise be to Allah. Okay, well, I want to thank you, Sister Tasha, and thank you, Sister Andrea, for making the effort to reach out to Sister Tasha and bringing our show. And we've got some excellent response. And, you know, thank you very much, Sister Tasha. And we want to, you know, in the very near future, bring
you
back to hear more about what you're doing. So thank you once again, Sister Andrea, Sister Tasha. And may Allah bless you all. And we look forward to next week's show. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground. Yeah. Although I am black and brown. must go.